Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I'm joined here with my amazing co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. See, that's what happens, Michelle, when you're starting to talk to me about all these yummy foods and Christmas time. Then my mind is going in another place. I can't even introduce the show.
I'm sorry.
This is the Grace Hour, and I'm here with my talkative, beautiful, funny friend, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio today. Merry Christmas, Michelle.
Merry Christmas.
It's great to be here with you, and it's just been a wonderful season. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
We did. 15 people sleeping overnight for 8 days.
Oh, awesome.
Super fun.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time. It's wonderful, but it can also be a lot of other things for people. It can be a great time of remembering loved ones that they miss. It can be a great time of disappointment, fallen expectations, maybe too many expectations we're trying to meet ourselves. And I think it's so important that we're talking about this subject today, faith in Jesus, our life, not just quoting the Bible verses and knowing the right answer on the test, so to speak, but really saying, can I see the thread of genuine faith in my life on the day-to-day basis? And what does that look like for me as a believer in Christ in the position that I'm in as a dad or a son or a father or a teacher or someone serving in ministry
or a mom
yes. What does that look like practically? And can I honestly say that I have contact with God in a way where I'm taking these spirit-led risks? And can I really hear God's voice beyond all of the muck of responsibilities and things that try to drown him out?
Well, we are here by faith.
Yes, amen, yes.
Probably you and I pray more in the car driving to this monthly appointment than we do anywhere else. So in the book of Romans, the word faith is mentioned 34 times. It's the number one, you know, ding, ding. What is that game show? I can't remember. It's the number one answer. Romans, faith, incredible, more than any other book in the Bible. Then comes Hebrews, a close second with that incredible Hall of Fame. But for me, nothing compares to 1 Samuel. Even though the word faith is not even mentioned once in that book. But 1 Samuel, which is going to be a Bible study women's ministry is studying next year, it talks about four men. Four saved men, Samuel, Saul, David, and Jonathan, and how they expressed their faith or their lack of faith. So let's start with Samuel. His story starts out the book. His faith is this radical, faithful obedience, hearing God's voice from childhood as a very tiny boy. Speak, your servant is listening. Courageously delivering God's tough messages to powerful men, corrupt Eli. His mentor and disobedient Saul, both men who could have really made his life miserable. He never stopped praying for Israel. I love this verse. It's 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. So this guy is incredible. He prioritized God's commands over selfish human desires. He had to tell Saul, get right up in King Saul's face, buddy, you've messed up here. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, it's showing that religion is part of our life.
Yes.
You know, we've got the Christmas season coming up. We're going to have a candlelight service. We have New Year's Eve service. We have rituals that give us life.
Yes.
Not rituals that drain life from us. And he guided Israel from tribal disunity in the beginning of his life to national solidarity, establishing the monarchy. He was Israel's last judge, first great prophet, and the kingmaker, anointing both Saul and David. He showed that every part of his life was holy. Incredible.
I love that. I love that. That key component right there. You know, I think it's difficult for us to make sure that we are applying God, not just thinking about God. Maybe we'll even reflect on some of the sermon content that we heard from service, but we can really think about it for someone else and not always apply it to ourselves. And I wonder if we challenge ourselves enough, Michelle, and remind ourselves that from the time that we gave our life to Christ, there was so much to be unfolded. And we can only take it one moment, one day, one rima at a time, sometimes not even that. And I think about Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I love that verse from Paul because it's a verse that encompasses that the essence of what it meant or what it means to be saved when we give our lives over to Christ. This is the emphasis. It's not about my gain anymore. It's about Christ. And I need to follow his direction so that I can have faith in my next steps. If I am being obedient, if I am seeking his voice, even Pastor James at our Edgewood Church, he was referencing our prayer life and challenging us, asking the question, when we sit down before the Lord, are we inviting him to draw closer to us? Or are we asking him that we need to draw our hearts to what he has to say from us in heaven?
There's a big difference.
It's a really big difference because we have a lot on our heart and a lot of things that we want to pursue answers about. You know, we even want to treat God sometimes like a genie rather than say, okay, God, what is your actual will, and help my heart to submit to that and truly, genuinely be okay with that.
Well, we've got Samuel, this incredible example, conceived as a result of his mother's prayers. He's dedicated to God by his mother. He learns to recognize God's voice as a child, and he responds with obedience. Mm. So our listeners might be saying, yeah, that's great for some perfect guy who lived a perfect life, who had perfect faith. No, let's talk about that dedication, all right? He's dropped off at the church by his parents when he's about 3 years old. Mm. And that's it. Now, imagining that happening today, this lovely couple comes to our international convention in June. They have a toddler. And they hand him over to Pastor Schaller. Maybe Pastor Schaller would be thinking, do you want me to bless this kid or what? And they're like, oh no, here you go. We've dedicated this boy to the Lord. You make a pastor out of him and we'll see you next year. And they leave.
Wow.
I mean, this is so wrong and even illegal. And I'm sure this contemporary child, and I wonder if Samuel interpreted it as abandonment. Hmm. He had these three wonderful years with his mom and dad, and all of a sudden, plink, he's dropped off at the church. Bye. Hmm. I can see a legitimate reason to have a lifetime of therapy, you know, trying to untangle this reason. I would have resentment towards my parents. What the heck? Mm. Towards the pastor, towards the church, and even God. But that did not happen to Samuel. Despite this shocking event, he stayed faithful to God.
Wow.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Wow. That really is incredible. And, you know, I know that, you know, as we read this story, we hear Hannah's heart and she's so grateful. She's so grateful for this boy. And perhaps not with the counsel of God, she said, this is my version of keeping my promise to the Lord. But that is important for us to remember, Michelle. When we do place our faith in God, sometimes we have to remember that what we think we have heard, we need to make sure is not more of our feelings telling us to take that next step, more so than the voice of God. And it takes time to discern that. In Hannah's eyes, she could be thinking, hey, I told you you'd give me a son. I made it very clear. From the moment I know he's here, he's yours. But maybe we need to unpack that a little bit. You know, maybe we need to make sure that as we are listening to the voice of God, we're not mixing our wisdom, our earthly wisdom, with the mind of God. And we're understanding that if God gave us perhaps a principle of our faith, that he wants to clarify how he wants us to carry that out as we are obedient to what we had discussed.
Well, in Samuel's case, it was definitely the Lord. The Lord wanted this to happen and the Lord kept him. But we need to talk practically about parents. We hyper-focus on our kids. We can't help it. They're so darn cute, you know, and we want to help them succeed.
Yeah.
But I like that you said wisdom. We need wisdom. Yes, we have to keep our eyes open to what what people say to our kid. You know, listen to your child, believe them, whatever they tell you, you know, help them to make sense out of it. You may even have to make a drastic change in a situation. You may have to take your child out of a certain school, like, whoa, this is not working. Mm-hmm. My child is getting bullied, or, you know, I'm feeling God calling us somewhere else. You may have to change churches.
Mm.
That has happened to people. But I want people to entertain the thought that Samuel's trouble caused him to be this incredible man of God.
Amen.
And maybe God has ordained, it's hard to say that, trouble in your child's life. And it's going to be the tool that he uses to make them the man or woman he wants them to be.
Mm.
So, yes, we have an initial knee-jerk reaction mm-hmm. when our child is hurt or bullied or ignored or not included. Everyone else is invited,
right.
But your child.
Right.
Oh, how do we handle that? But then I love that wisdom. We
yes.
go to God for wisdom.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you're reminding all of us that what God allows is purposeful, you know, and so we can see it with our own narrow perspective and we can panic. We can ask questions, and I do think asking the questions are great, but what is our heart behind it? Are we trying to get out of it? Are we trying to really vent towards God and ask him to shift this and make sure this is something that is more comfortable for my child, not as hard for our family to go through? But I love what you're saying, because when we sacrifice our lives, that has to do with everyone that becomes a part of our life, our friendships, our parenting, our marriage. And so if we really believe that God is purposeful, then we can know that even though we can't follow what it means exactly that we have surrendered all of this already, God will give us the wisdom that we need, the grace that we need, and he will work through the weaknesses. He assures us of that in his word.
It's beautiful. Let's jump to Saul, this incredible man, tall, dark, handsome, taller than everybody else, you know. In a world of, let's say, 5'9" men, he's like 6'9", whatever,
wow.
Chosen by God, filled with the Spirit, led Israel with courage. His faith was strong. He showed incredible humility as their first king, but only for a little while. Mm. He ultimately falters due to disobedience, mm-hmm. impatient, fear. Mm. He prioritized his own will or even worldly solutions. He offered that sacrifice prematurely instead of waiting for Samuel. Tried to kill David multiple times,
mm-hmm.
okay? Wow. Consulted a witch over, you know, rather than God's direct commands. He was rejected and had a terrible end. But his story highlights that genuine faith requires obedience and trust, not just outward religious acts.
Mm.
Have you ever had a song play in your head over and over and over again and you can't get rid of it?
Oh, absolutely.
What do they call that?
I don't know.
They
temporary
call it something.
Insanity?
Yes. Well, there was a little ditty that was playing on the radio and Saul heard it and it completely took over his mind.
Mm.
Saul has slain his thousands. Oh, well, this sounds good. I'm going to like. But David, his 10,000s.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Mm.
You know, he never succeeded. From that point on.
Right.
From that point on.
Right.
His hatred of one man led him to kill 85 priests in the city of Nob,
mm.
who the only thing they had done was gave David a few loaves of bread.
Right.
So, you know, stuff like this happens to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. And I really appreciate the honesty in what you're saying. Once that thought enters, I mean, our thoughts are the epicenter of every decision. Are we really thinking, for me to live is Christ? For me to live is Christ. What does that mean? Okay, God, I am offended. I'm going to yes. honestly tell you I'm
yes.
offended. I don't like how this feels. Maybe I don't like this person. Maybe if I can see that this is your will for me, I am boldly disagreeing. I have to remember that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what does that mean for this particular situation? You know what? I might have to put to death what I wanted today. I might have to put to death the image for myself I was trying to create. I might have to put to death the dream that I had for my family, for my marriage. But even though your heart is broken, it doesn't mean that there isn't restoration afterwards, you know? And sometimes you're right. These voices can play so loudly and they really, they poke at us right in these areas where our heart is already so insecure. You know, yeah. There was already something there simmering in Saul, something that needed to be stroked. He needed that affirmation over and over again. He needed to feel like there was something about him specifically that was bringing everything into this admirable place. And as soon as it was challenged, he completely fell apart. It's almost like we see how thin the belief system was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am the Lord's. However, I am Saul. He has given me this. This is how I rule. And I love hearing all these words lifting up my glory. Maybe we can attach ourselves to that a little too much. Not saying we can't take a compliment, but our heart loves to attach itself right away to things, right away, even the wrong things. Yeah. We're just always seeking more of the stroking, more of the compliments, more of the things that become very dangerous when we don't even realize we transition into living for them. And we can't filter them through the mind of Christ and remember who we are, where we need to be grounded, and that God still needs to be my first and foremost focus.
Beautiful. And it's not that David was challenging him mm-hmm, at all. Mm-hmm. David was so obedient and so loyal and just a great stand-up guy. But I understand this process. It has happened to me in the past. I got sad. I got mad. Wait a minute. Everyone prefers this way. What about my way? Mm. You know, hey, my sweet potatoes are much better with orange slices and marshmallows on top, but nobody likes them.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Michelle, let it go. Let it go.
Oh, man. You know, you can get hyper-focused on a non-essential.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And like Saul, ends up happening, you blame the church. Mm-hmm. It didn't take long. He kills 85 guys at the church. Mm-mm. Why? Why do we focus on the church? The way I got over my big bump in the road was I kept confessing to God my feelings, my honest, raw, wrong, disgusting, sinful feelings. Mm. Disgusting. I even said to God, I'm murderous about this situation.
Wow.
And he's like, that's great. What's that going to solve?
Right.
And I was like, nothing. Mm. Okay. Mm. What do we have that we didn't get from God? And if in your mind you see someone else with a bigger portion, it's not them. It's the Lord.
Right.
So, and then I started praying, God bless this person. Mm. Increase their gifts.
Yes.
I started counter praying against my own feeling. Increase their opportunities. And I love Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. I will not refuse it. You know, these things come along and we're wrong.
Right.
And we go to God and we receive correction.
Right, right.
And it's delicious. It's very nice. Well,
that's one way to describe it,
you
yes.
know, if he does it in private.
Yes.
But Saul's problem was he's a people pleaser.
Yes.
He has this big need for this horizontal approval. He's afraid of rejection. Mm-hmm. It costs him the kingdom.
Wow.
You know, he's trying to keep everyone happy.
Wow.
So if he and I were friends, I would have said, baby, you got to sit down. You need a few lessons in the fine art of disappointing people. Mm. You know, learn how to say no.
Yes.
Shut off the radio. Don't pick up the phone. Don't answer the email. Ignore the text. Refuse to bow to other people's expectations.
Yes.
Tell people, oh, I would love to do that, but let me pray about it and get back to you in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And unless the Holy Spirit says it's your assignment, it's not.
Wow.
I think I spent my whole 30s my whole decade trying to do things for people instead of housework to gain friends or to keep friends, mm-hmm. you know. And when we moved to Baltimore, somebody said wanted me to do something for them. And I said, I would love to do that. It'll take me about 2 hours. They were like, great. I said, so when can you come over to my house to watch my kids during those 2 hours while I do this for you?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, they got very quiet.
Wow.
You have to teach people how to treat you. Mm-hmm. And Saul, I would say prioritize your time with God.
Yes.
Your calling, your spouse, your kids.
Yes.
You know, nothing says I love you like a clean toilet. I'm just sorry.
But, you know, I think it really begs the question, Michelle, that all of us really have to answer for ourselves. And that question is, do we have the faith that fostering a life that revolves around God's word and God's ways is the most fulfilling way to live?
Beautiful.
Because that's really what attacks us. You're missing out. You know, something is being robbed of you right now. You know, why is this disappointing when you could be a part of it and it could be so fulfilling? Yeah, you know, your devotional time will be decreased. Maybe your family time will be what you sacrifice, but at least you were there to get your spiritual badge of honor, because that's quietly what a lot of us are building, these spiritual resumes. You know, that's what the world has taught us. Yes, it is this plus this plus this, and this is how you get the high five. Even with God.
Sure.
And God is asking us constantly, please redefine how you think by letting me renew how you think, you know?
Beautiful.
And it's difficult. It's difficult because, as you said, those disappointments that we find in other people, they become a chasm between us and God, because we're just sitting in this offense, or we're sitting in this heartbrokenness for so long. And God is trying to speak something to us while we're there. Sometimes we're the disappointment. I disappointed myself. And now, God, I look at you with so much shame, and I'm not applying these other verses by faith that you really did die for that already. And then my quiet times with you become more obligatory, more based on duty. They're not personal, because I am harboring something and I'm not letting you in there. I'm not believing past myself. I am not believing in who I can't see and who has assured me that it's all been nailed. And I am creating this new reality where God is attached, but he is not the focal point.
You know, Saul could have had a great rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Faced his wrong thinking, had that moment of shame, and then felt God's renewal and love.
Amen.
But he spent the next 10 years chasing David. Mm. Now, David's faith, number 3 in this chapter, this is an active trust in God's power. You know, he's this young kid. Goliath is out there for 40 days, morning and night, saying, send me a man. And God sends a teenager. I love how God does this. I love it. Mm. But, you know, David never mentioned Goliath after that. Hey, wait a minute, Saul. Don't you remember? No, he never did that.
Very true.
He said the battle belongs to the Lord. His actions were not for self-promotion, but to make God's name be honored. He showed courage in adversity.
Yes.
You know, lions, bears, giants, and this decade long run from Saul. Wow, where are we going here? Is there coffee? Hello. You know, we can draw courage from God's anointing.
Yes, absolutely.
You and I are supposed to be here this morning, mm-hmm. and we prepared and we did what we could, and the rest is up to God.
Amen.
You know, and the Psalms, David wrote, I think, 73 Psalms. I have an exam tomorrow night in Bible college, and I hope that's the right number. And the Psalms express his anger, his frustration, but also his confidence in God and his repentance. You know, Psalm 51 he's a mess in Psalm 51.
Yes.
But he shows us the power of rebound.
Yes.
And
yes.
He's listed in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible guy.
I love that. I love that. And we referenced even on one of our previous shows, 1 Samuel 16:7. And it's just such a great reminder that God sees our heart, Michelle. Like, he sees all the intention. He sees where we think we're right, but we really need clarity from him. He sees where we want to please him. We want that hug. We want that I'm proud of you hug from Christ. But we choose to turn it into something that follows the model of the world. A lot of the time.
Sure.
We don't mean to, but this is us in our human weakness. Oh, I want God to be proud of me, so I'm going to say yes to every outreach. I'm going to say yes to every special event on the calendar. I'm going to say yes, 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 yes. And then you turn and you have this family looking at you saying, please say no. Or there is a need from a friend who won't even approach you because they can tell that you're so busy trying to accomplish the world. You don't have time for them. You don't have time to be a friend because you're too busy. You're too busy getting holy. You can't be my friend. Maybe I should try to join you in some of these things, even though what I really need is for you to stop and look at me and hear my heart. You know, and I love this aspect of slowing down and remembering that God doesn't always use these 1 hour, 2 hour time periods or even sermons at the church to make these life-changing statements to us. A lot of times the simplicity of Christ's words, it's so powerful to our hearts, but we have to be paying attention. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I do have something to say, but you're not going to hear me because the enemy of your life right now perhaps is busyness. You're not going to hear me because the enemy of your life right now is self-absorption or rebuilding an image, as we said previously. But what are we giving our time to? Our faith cannot be strengthened if our time is going to all these things that are important. Maybe they're even wonderful opportunities, but are they spirit-led promptings?
That's the thing. You know, we're getting really good comments on Facebook here, and please know that we're reading them and we're thankful for you.
Hi, guys.
All of our listeners, thank you so much. What's the enemy of faith? Well, I think it's reason. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding.
Yes.
So how does this principle manifest itself in our testimony? And now I think it's the fourth guy I want to talk about, Jonathan. Saul's son.
I love Jonathan.
What a kid. Oh, he's adorable.
Oh, he's great.
He shows immense faith in 1 Samuel 14, secretly attacking a Philistine outpost with only his armor bearer, believing that God would grant them the victory. Mm-hmm. He's willing to climb up this cliff, and the Philistines are at the top, and he's like, hey, can I come up and we'll fight? And they're like, sure. You know, and they wait for him to get up and get settled and bring his armor bearer up and draw their swords. This is what guys do when they don't watch football on Saturdays. You know, it's like, okay, I can't imagine putting myself up for this, but he did.
I love it.
And, you know, we see him as David's friend.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. No matter what.
Yes.
I mean, no, when it got intense, when it got crazy, even when they had to part from each other and it was heartbreaking, it was what needed to happen. So faithful, so loyal, willing to go through the mess with him. I love it. I love it so much. Such a picture of God's faithfulness. And I also think too, Michelle, it's a great picture for us to see of someone really sticking very, very true to the voice of God leading them and what God wanted them to do. That's such a great question to come back to for all of us. I see all this chaos around me. I see all these circumstances that I can't control. I see things that are really bothering me and I want to get involved. But God, what would you have me to do?
Beautiful.
In this situation, and give me the faith that not only will you speak, but you will equip me, even if that means I have to stand down, even if that means I have to wait, even if that means I have to say goodbye to something. I have faith in the one who's given me this life because you have said that you are faithful. You have said that you will not fail inside of me. I'm going to fail. That is inevitable, but you inside of me won't fail.
I love Jonathan and David. You know, they were friends and then their paths wildly diverged. Mm-hmm. But they stayed friends. They didn't judge each other.
Yes.
Hey, why aren't you with me? You know, why are you staying with your dad? Your dad is such a jerk, mm-hmm. David could have said. Mm-hmm. Jonathan could have said, you know, why are you running to the enemy and staying in Ziklag? What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. You know? No, they didn't judge each other. Mm-hmm. So I got five things that we can emulate from Jonathan's faith. Mm-hmm. We can have bold, informed obedience.
Amen.
Without pressure from what we think we should be doing or what other people even want us to do. But mm-hmm. faith isn't passive. Mm. It's courageous. Mm-hmm. It's bold. It's audacious. Trusting in God's power. You know, and Jonathan says, hey, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few.
Yes.
You know, people don't want to go on outreach with you. Well, then go by yourself. I do more outreach in Marshall's shopping. Every time I've got to go return something or buy something, I'm like, oh, is there an opportunity? Hmm. You know, and it's so often God leads me to other Christian ladies mm-hmm. and I have moments to build them up.
Yes.
And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I didn't lead anyone to Christ. No one's on their knees, you know, mm-hmm. in the cosmetics aisle with me in Marshall's, but I'm finding people and I'm building them up.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
It's not jumping off the cliff. You know, you don't have a dream that you move to Bogotanga and you tell your husband, oh, we're selling the house tomorrow because I had this dream. And it's like, well, okay, you have a desire and a vision. Let's pray about this.
Yeah, let's go clarify.
You know,
let's
spend time praying. Yeah. Let's talk to our pastor. Does he want us to go? Mm-hmm. You know, what will this mean for our children?
Yes.
And I'm not saying we let people water down our faith, but we test it.
Yes. Yes. And there should be people in our lives that we've been led to and that we trust who are allowed to speak into our lives, maybe even sometimes to offend us.
Yep.
But we know because that's someone that God has given that we need to at least go and receive the counsel and then ask God to help us filter out what needs to stay and what needs to go about this decision.
You know, he also had contagious faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says to his armor bearer, hey, come on, come with me. And his armor bearer is like, yeah, sure, let's go. You know, and I'm reading the book about Pastor Schaller in Finland, and I am just loving it.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a devotional that you want to kickstart January with, get that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something about frozen something, and there's Pastor Schaller's picture on the cover. Every little chapter has a nice lesson.
Nice.
And I am sad that I'm almost done.
Those are the best books when you're sad that they're almost done.
I'm watching my bookmark pass through these chapters. I only read one chapter a day because I want it to last so long.
That's so wonderful.
If only I could be this way about a chocolate bar, but no, I can't.
Especially not this month.
Oh my gosh. He showed courageous initiative. He didn't just pray. He prayed. He felt led. This is my assignment. He acted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he didn't reason all his ducks in a row, but he felt led.
I love that.
God honored him, you know?
I love that, Michelle, because I do think that, yes, we do need to be responsible. And yes, we need to live in the reality of what's going on right now. But I also think there should always be an element of adventure about our walk with God. There needs to be something that maybe it didn't make 100% practical sense to everyone, but it's burning on my heart. God keeps bringing this thought back to my mind or putting this on my heart over and over again. So I am going to take steps towards this. And you can pray, God, I am moving forward because I think this is what you're saying. But if I'm going the wrong way, I trust you to block the door.
Yes, I love that.
I trust you to block the door. Sometimes we can run crazy and think, oh no, I can see this entire situation. I can play it out in my mind. And we have to remember, we have hopes, we have dreams, we have preferences, we have biases. That's why we need the cleansing of God to make sure that our mind really is following his mind. But we need that. We need to have things that we're excited about in our faith. We need to follow that voice that kind of sounds crazy sometimes and say, God, is this you or is this me? And we need to let God wow us because this is how our faith is built.
That's beautiful. We've got Josephine.
Hi,
Miss
Josephine.
Who got the book, Pastor Schaller's book, and she read it through the minute she got it.
Oh, amazing.
So she's my kind of girl.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Miss Josephine.
The fourth thing is that we can anticipate supernatural intervention.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You know, let's have hope.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of forget, you know, faith, hope, and charity. We're such a big buzzwords when I was a child, and you hardly ever hear about hope now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if God's put something on your heart, but you don't have the money, let's hope.
Yes.
Let's see what we can do. Mm-hmm. You know, how many Beanie Babies can you sell on eBay to get money for that mission
trip? Oh my gosh, I haven't heard about Beanie Babies in so long.
Oh my gosh, I know. We still have them.
Wow.
And then the last thing for me is Jonathan's incredible humility.
Mm.
You know, 1 Samuel 18 defines this instant friendship.
Yes.
They just were like, oh my gosh, they were buds.
Yeah.
And Jonathan's profound love and solemn covenant. He takes off his robe, his armor, his belt, recognizing David as the future king despite his own birthright.
Mm-hmm.
That is unbelievable for a young guy, maybe in his late teens, early 20s to do.
Yes.
He doesn't show any entitlement.
Wow.
He's not clinging to the notion that I've got to be the next king.
Because
mm-hmm. my dad was the first king. Of course, I will be King Jonathan the second.
Mm.
And we know it doesn't happen.
Right. Right.
You know, but to have the humility for closed doors.
Yes.
Even in your walk in faith, some doors are going to close.
Amen. Yeah. I really love that, you know, just as a part two to what Pastor James was sharing with us last Thursday, he reminded us, you know, humility is not a fruit of the Spirit. It is a discipline. It is a choice. And sometimes we can so gravely want something that we miss out on the right opportunity, the right door that we're supposed to walk through, because we can ask God to get up from his seat so that we can sit there. You know, God, this is what I want. This is how I know how to make it happen. So if you would just scoot your will out of the way, maybe we can merge after I get to the pinnacle of what I really want. And then you can just kind of bless what I did. This is how we think,
you know, you're not wrong.
I know. It's just crazy how much, you know, that word humility sometimes can be our enemy, because when I say I am choosing humility, I am simultaneously saying that I'm okay with it, even if God doesn't want for me what I want for me. And that is very difficult to say, especially when you do think that you have caught a vision for your life. But that's why God is there. That's why we have him. That's why we're here, you know, because he wants to work so much through us, but we can get so distracted and we forget that God is in a category all by himself.
Amen.
He can see what we can't see. His ways are not like our ways, and he just wants our trust. The more our heart is given to him, the more we trust what he's doing. And it's difficult, Michelle. These are not difficult things, especially right now during this season where we can feel, again, a sense of loneliness or loss or confusion. But he's so available. He's so available to remind us that this is why Christ was born. I am the hope of the world. I want you to lean into me. I want you to learn of me, because I do have beautiful plans for you.
Beautiful. Hey, you've got a book on the table. Is there something you wanted to reference?
I did. So I brought this with me last time. This is a book by Lisa Turkers, and it's called Becoming More Than a Good Bible Study Girl.
Oh.
The title is actually a little bit deceiving, because there is so much substance in this book about letting God be God, even through moments of grief, even through moments of disappointment, because these are some of the biggest hindrances in our faith growing. And I wanted to read this quote by her because I thought it was a great reminder for all of us. It says, "In most situations, nothing positive can come from whatever answer there might be to a why question. If God gave us his reason why, we would judge him. And his reasons from our limited perspective would always fall short. That's because our flat human perceptions simply can't process God's multidimensional eternal reasons. As Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 explains to us, our ways and God's ways are not the same. We can't see the full scope of the situation like God can. Therefore, we must acknowledge that his thoughts are more complete and that he is more capable of accurately discerning what is best in every circumstance."
Beautiful.
I love it.
We're getting great comments on YouTube and Facebook, and we're blessed. And someone's asking where we are located. We're in Baltimore. GGWO.org. Come check us out.
Yes.
Come to our church service.
Yes, absolutely.
Jasmine goes to the Edgewood Church.
Yes.
And you can find that out also.
Yes.
We have got an incredible week ahead of us. They're going to be talking about prayer, the word, fellowship, and worship. I think I'm going to listen.
Yes, absolutely. The essentials of the spiritual life. And, you know, we just want to encourage all of you, you know, having a growing faith is essential. We need to nourish our souls, nourish our minds, nourish our hearts every day with something, a worship song, a devotional, a private, undistracted time of prayer. Maybe even putting our phones in another room for an entire day and letting whatever happens, happen.
I love it.
People will figure it out. It's amazing how much we don't know we're working against ourselves, but God just wants that trust. He wants our heart, and he wants to grow our faith. It's not up to us. It's really not. It's us paying attention to him. He has amazing, wonderful, heavenly, beautiful things to say. Let's pay attention this season.
beautiful. We want to encourage our listeners and our friends, and you listeners are our friends, even though we can't see you. We have faith that you're there. And, hey, come on. Take some time to pray and be a dreamer with God.
Mm.
Joseph was a dreamer.
Yes.
You know, both Josephs, the Old Testament Joseph and the New Testament Joseph, let's follow after their faith. And you may encourage your family members or your friends.
Mm. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to tune in for the rest of the week as we discuss the essentials of the spiritual life. Merry Christmas. We love you. We'll talk to you next time.